This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
IGN Gamescoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne,
Scoop Claiborne,
and Dan Scoopleton.
Dan Scoopleton.
I didn't get to do my own. Okay, fine. You guys go nuts.
What were you going to do? Scoop Danilton?
I had nothing. I'm glad you stepped up.
You both got scoops in your names. I'm just normal me.
Staple Dan.
Yeah. Your brand is so well recognized. Mm. You can't mess with Justin Davis. No. Big JD. well, I guess I am messing with it. We've got a great show for this week. We're going to talk about Assassin's Creed Origins and Far Cry 5 and a whole bunch of other games. And, of course, we will be giving away, as promised, our two fabulous prize packages, $450 of PlayStation Store credit plus 50 times two. We're going to be giving away both of these.
Why do you keep... I keep forgetting. It was for episode 450.
It was for...
They're $500.
It's simple math, like our review scores.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. That's
an inside joke here.
One of our audio podcast listeners is going to win one of these. One of our YouTube viewers is going to win one of these. Who will it be? Don't go scrubbing through the podcast because... I'll know. I've selected two winners now. But if you scrub forward and it's you become disqualified.
Here's what I'm going to do. When Damon's announcing the winners, I'm going to wave my hands wildly. And so someone can just scrub forward and wait for that.
What's your plan in getting these clearly valuable little items to people?
I'm going to mail them to them.
Carrier pigeon? Register?
Yes.
You could probably scratch them off and email them the digital codes.
Yeah, well.
Or... mail them.
Yeah, whichever. Maybe it's like opening up a magic card pack.
True.
You don't want to deprive
someone.
You don't want to rob them of the joy of scratching stuff off.
Yeah,
it's true.
It smells like 100 new games.
But first,
new games.
Nintendo is possibly working on an achievement system for Switch.
Oh,
heard that one before.
We've heard that one before. And of course, we've talked about how an achievement system is one of the... key features one would expect in a modern console that is missing from the Switch.
And at this point, like, achievements are kind of in the rearview mirror for a lot of people. Like
Are achievements over?
And kind of. I mean, not for everyone. Obviously, there are a lot of people who really value them, but they're not the craze they once were.
Like, we used to talk about them in reviews.
Right.
And now, they were a craze, as you were saying.
And now it's just like, oh, they're expected. And yes, it is kind of a blind spot for them not to have it, but... of the features that Nintendo needs, that's, I don't know, not I wouldn't prioritize it super high.
I think achievements when they're at their best, and I actually do expect, I hope, maybe I'm hoping for too much, I hope Nintendo will actually put a Nintendo spin on it. And they did this with the Wii U a little bit. You know, they had that stamp system, and Xbox has done this a little bit where achievements would sometimes unlock little extras for your avatars. And it can be fun if, you know, not only are you ticking off, you know, the boxes on a game that you're really loving, but it's giving you some kind of little extra bonus or something fun to use maybe outside of that game itself. And I hope Nintendo does some sort of coin system like they had on the 3DS or something along those lines.
The reason we're talking about this is because an indie developer who is working on a game for Switch says, quote, "We know they're working on it."
Oh, dang. Well, that's
in reference to an achievement system.
He got the scoop.
Yeah.
And then I think a couple of comments later on the same AMA thread, he's like, "Oh, nothing to see here."
Yeah, I'm sure. He's like, "Oops."
What I meant to say was, it would be really wonderful if they...
We assume they're working on it.
Sam, what do you think about achievements on Switch?
I've always wanted the Nintendo Switch on the Nintendo's spin on achievements.
Yeah, that's they would have their own spin on it, right?
Well, I hope so, because now it would feel really silly. But there was one point where I was like, "This is crazy! Nintendo doesn't have achievements. It adds value to your game and all this stuff." But Nintendo's found other ways to do that, and sometimes they just add achievements to their games. Sometimes games just have achievements.
They already have like achievement systems, but they just aren't universal. Part of like a meta, you know, that lives across your
and
profile.
And stamps were kind of like that for some games.
Yeah, it was great.
And those like had a little bit of a function. That's really nice. What I want is for them to be tied to your coin system.
Yeah.
So then you get like cool free digital downloads and stuff. That's when if achievements pay off, I think they're really cool now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's great.
Yeah. Didn't Xbox like sort of casually experiment with providing real rewards. Games or real value, real rewards for your achievements? Did I make that up?
Yeah, they had that system. It translated into your gamer score, translated into little extras and bonuses that you could redeem. I think, I don't know if it was all throughout the year, like once a year you get an opportunity to like spend what you'd built up.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So Dan, you think the most interest in achievements has waned?
I don't think they're as hot as they once were.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, if they're going to add something to the Switch, how about letting me watch Netflix?
That's anything. A really good point. There's a big infrastructure on the internet for Switch missing. We talk about this all the time.
Right.
If that comes along with that, you know,
it's like sure,
there's no OS.
I'm not going to say don't do it, but like it's not what I want most on the Switch right now.
Yeah, Sames.
Same.
No, I mean, I think for me, it's notably absent from the Switch. But it's sort of like I don't know that many people that are only playing games on one platform anymore. Even if you're like mostly, like I'm mostly a PlayStation gamer, I'm mostly a Steam gamer, you're probably bouncing around a little bit between other hardware.
Yeah.
So for me, the pain point isn't that achievements aren't on Switch, but that, you know, I played Binding of Isaac on Steam and I played Zelda on Switch and I'm playing Persona on PS5 and I have a trophy.
Wow.
And PS4, excuse me. Persona 5 on PS4. And so now I have a trophy level and Binding of Isaac achievements on Steam. Yeah. And
we're going to have to edit that part out.
spilled the beans. And so I want to see, I mean, maybe this should be an IGN Hack Day project or something, but I want to see someone unify, like, this is me as a gamer, like a complete view of everything I've accomplished on all these different platforms and bring all those stats together into one spot.
Do you guys remember the poll of Xbox achievements when they came out? It was like, I don't want to play this on PS3 because I want to play it on my Xbox 360 for the achievements.
Yeah.
Like that meant something.
Especially crazy people would like rent games that were notable
and for then
having,
there was
like,
all that.
An easy 1,000 achievements.
And then, you know, Greg and Colin got really into trophies in the office and they talked about it a lot and really like led the charge on like what it's like to 100% platinum stuff. And that was like a really fun time. But that buzz is not here anymore, as Dan keeps saying.
That's true.
Maybe it's somewhere else.
To me, it's like, I actually am very fond of achievement systems because if you want to ignore it, never pay any attention to it, like you can, but it's something that's there for someone that really, really cares deeply about a game and wants to get, you know, squeeze a little bit more out of it. I think it's really genius in that way.
Yeah. And I agree with that, like everything you said. In fact, I think the fact that...
Stop! It'll never... I will deny this ever have happened in the past.
I don't know. That one afternoon where Dan helped you build the PC, you guys got along pretty well.
That's true. That was a really good day.
I think when you stratify your gaming across a bunch of different systems and you're no longer, you know, in one ecosystem and having all of those gaming achievements under one umbrella, I think that makes a big difference in how much you value them.
Yeah.
But also, I think if you... as long as the game has its own integrated achievement system, like I think even Mario Plus Rabbids had that.
Yeah.
Like you
really?
I think it does.
I played the hell out of that game. I don't think I've got any achievements. Maybe I'm just.
I don't know. Maybe I'm imagining it.
Well, but
maybe I was wishing it had.
Whether it's second, some individual games have like checklists and achievement like systems that take the place of a official system.
So as long as a game has that within it, it's like, do you really need the system wide thing saying I have this many points when the points aren't even like necessarily worth the same thing from game to game to begin with?
Yeah. I like in Horizon where those became challenges that give you XP. Mm-hmm. They were like other little side quests. It was like kill, you know, these many animals and stuff like that. Like those get really interesting and it helps me in my game. Then it's like, well, I don't need achievements anyway because this is actually just a cool little game quest.
And like Blizzard does a great thing with achievements in StarCraft too, where where they just have kind of like side missions within within a mission, or you know, conditions like beat it.
I like that a lot.
Blizzard's like, so excellent.
Halo Wars. I spent
dozens of hours in World of Warcraft just doing off the beaten path, odd, weird fishing achievements and stuff like that. Bungie was really good about that in Halo too, like beat a level without jumping,
totally,
stuff like that.
Love that.
I hate achievements that are just kill X number of things or do thing X number of times. That those are
they had like, those. I 100% in Mass Effect 2, which is one of my favorite games ever, and it has like stuff like that where it's like one of them is like, you know, melee attack or melee punch 100 enemies by the end of the game. And like I never did that with my character as like a sniper. It would have never happened, so I had to like replay the game and I did it. It was really stupid. I regret it.
Well, Nintendo's, you know, big online service for Switch is coming next year. But in the more immediate future, they are having a Nintendo Direct tomorrow, which it'll be actually be probably around the same time this podcast goes live. So I don't know what the odds are that Nintendo Direct is timed to talk about this, possibly, to talk about achievements. Probably, not.
I have been assuming it was going to be sort of a last look at Mario before.
Have they even said it's focused
Mario
on Mario?
Focused.
That's what it said. Mm-hmm. Okay, then there we go. So don't expect to hear about this achievement system, but maybe it'll be coming with this online service next year.
But, and then we're going to talk about this in Game Scoop a little bit later, but they also have been talking about other classic stuff, so they might talk about that too.
No, we can talk about that right now if you
want.
Yay! They did announce, they're talking about the SNES Classic, which is coming this month. Is that true?
Yes, the 29th.
Coming later this month.
Wow.
As many at launch as there were the whole NES Classic numbers wise.
Definitely
do
more.
Do you have Reggie's exact quote, or of
crazy?
You remember? You want to paraphrase?
I mean, the paraphrased Reggie quote is: "Don't buy an SNES Classic for more than $80, which is what it costs." He's like, "They'll be abundant enough that you'll be able to buy one if you want one." But I'm like, man, after saying that, you better be right, dude.
They'll have as many at launch as they as many SNES Classics at launch as they printed the first run of NES Classics.
Mm. Yeah. So that's good.
So
that's
good news.
But a bunch of people still don't have those.
That's absolutely true.
But
and they said that the NES Classic is what
they're going to bring the NES Classic back next summer.
That's great.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Like, it's one of those things. Like, we're all a little bit surprised by it. But it's kind of like, well, why? Like, you know, like in what other world would people be surprised by a company making more of a popular thing?
Yeah. I know.
It's like, oh, you come to your senses. That's nice.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's like supply and demand, right? But there's this also pressure, which I know we talked about here a lot, and I know Ryan McCaffrey wrote about a few times. And then every comment thread about anything that we've done about the SNES Classic says, this would be great if I could get one.
Yeah.
That is the first comment on YouTube and IGN, and Nintendo absolutely sees that.
Yeah.
If all of everything that comes out of the NES Classic now is just negativity about it not being available, that's a failure for them, not, you know, financially necessarily, but, you know, as a PR thing. So, like, they want to fix that.
You know, it makes me
wonder. We did it.
Technology, as we're recording this show, new iPhones were announced today. You know, we're probably not that far away from new console announcements from Sony and Nintendo. Like, technology advances forward. Not Sony. Sony and Microsoft, excuse me. Technology always advances forward. But you bring up an interesting point with the NES Classic. Like, I'm assuming whatever they announce, maybe it'll have one or two more games. It'll almost certainly have longer controller cables, right? Mm. But at some point, like, is that console complete? Like, that's just a thing that Nintendo makes for 20 years? Like, what more is there to do with it? Like,
more games, I guess. So.
I mean, I suppose so, but
that's what would kill me if the second edition of the NES Classic, came with a zapper. Or
if it was portable.
Yeah, or it's just if it had different packaging, because then I'd have to buy it.
I mean, that's just like that's like capitalism 101, or like being a technology company is just like the new thing's better than the old thing. But with the NES Classic, like, they're close-ish to that device being perfected.
Well, I mean, the perfect version of the NES Classic would be having every single game released for the NES on it.
Yeah.
And that's a long ways
off. Except for the bad ones, then it would be perfect.
And still having them available, like for preservation purposes.
It is a balancing act. Like how many times, like next summer, if they say, hey, it's got 3 new games and longer controller cables, everyone will say, great, great job. But then what if the next summer it has three more games?
Well, that's why it's really dumb that they didn't make it expandable. It's like, I know why they didn't do it, but it's still a dumb reason to not just sell, like, hey, here's a little SD card in what looks like an NES cartridge you can slot in there and add more. But those things don't have any kind of receptacle for cartridges. I guess they do have a USB port.
No, they don't.
Don't they?
I'm just saying there's no cart receptacle.
Right. Yeah, but they do have like a USB port that
people absolutely mod them.
Yeah, so it can be done. So conceivably. Yeah, conceivably Nintendo could do something like that, but it would just be pirated right and left. So
I think they can get away with, you know, one or two more incremental revisions before, you know, public sentiment will sour on, like, hey, this is a third NES Classic now. Like, stop. You know, I feel bad about the one I bought.
But just having to buy the hardware along with the extra games that you kind of want.
It puts them in an interesting spot.
I'm just very happy that I think I'll be able to get an SNES Classic. Because we don't have special access. Like, you guys were at Gamescom when the pre-orders went up, right?
Yeah.
And a bunch of people here did pre-orders. Nobody, one day in the office, they all went up. Nobody got one.
I got one.
From the office that day?
No, it was like 2 a.m. the night before.
Yes, that's when people got them. And nobody in the big rush when everybody was on board and knew it was happening, nobody here got them. And that's crazy.
You could hear the air get sucked out of the room. Eric Song bought like 4 or 5, and he's like, hey, I'll share them around.
Our deals editor.
Yeah, our deals and commerce editor said, I got 4 or 5 guys, like, I'll share them around the office. And then like a week later, hey, bad news, guys. All my orders were canceled but one. it was everyone was in mourning.
That'll teach that scalper.
Well,
So SNES Classic is coming this month. Many more being shipped at launch. Nintendo has announced they're going to continue shipping it into 2018 after the new year. Awesome. And the NES Classic is coming back next summer.
So. And hopefully Switches will be available this fall, too.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Because there's so much fun to play on Nintendo stuff right now.
It's true. It's a
great get them.
Anecdotally, Switches are becoming more and more available.
Let's talk about what's out this week and keeping on the Nintendo trip. Sam, your Metroid Samus Returns review is up. You gave it an 8.5.
That's a great 0.5.
Great. You had a great 0.5. We talked about that last week on the show. We don't need to get super into it, but it's awesome that this is out, and it's awesome you pointed this out earlier this week. It boggles the mind to think that in 1 year we get a new Metroid, new Zelda, and new Mario.
Like a really good Zelda.
Yeah, I mean,
hopefully good Mario, and a great Metroid.
Great Metroid. And even a great complete version of Mario Kart 8. Also.
True.
That's this year also. It's crazy.
And Mario plus Rabbids.
Star Fox 2.
Mario plus Rabbids is great, but it's not like...
Star Fox
doesn't have the
sequel?
Lineage of these.
Star Fox 2.
Star Fox 2 is out in the same year too. Yeah, it's a really good year for Nintendo. Sorry, excuse me.
Settle down.
Getting very excited.
Settle down.
Also out this week is Dishonored: Death of the Outsider, a game I'm very excited for. Dan, are you reviewing that one?
No, Tom Marks is going to do that one.
Okay.
$30 or $40
standalone
pseudo sequel / DLC. Yeah. I mean, you actually can't even accurately call it DLC because it's standalone.
Yeah, it's not. It's just
a standalone
like
expansion.
It's like Lost Legacy. I think that's really cool that there can be a follow up 1 year later to a fall mega game that's like half as big, but just like really well plotted and stuff.
Well,
like that.
It's funny that the first time I ever remember something like that happening. I mean, obviously there were standalone expansions for like PC games for decades, but in this context. Was Assassin's Creed 4 had its story DLC, and later they're like, "Yeah, you don't need the game. You can just buy that for $10 if you want." And I was like, "Oh, I've never seen that before."
Undead Nightmare did that for Red Dead,
and now it's really common.
Infamous Second Son did it with what was it? That was the Neon
First Light.
First Light, yeah.
Yeah, you're right about So yeah, maybe there have been some other examples.
No, that was the same time. I'm just saying, like that was it's really cool.
Going back to the PC stuff, I think some of the earlier stuff I remember was like THQ and Relic doing. Doing Warhammer, Dawn of War stuff, and also Company of Heroes had a couple standalone expansions.
Sonic and Knuckles?
Supreme Commander had a standalone expansion.
Yeah. You know what Sonic and Knuckles is?
I do.
I think it's great.
I'm excited. I love Dishonored, so.
I didn't ever get around to Dishonored 2, so maybe this fall will be the right time to just go through the whole saga.
Yeah,
for sure. Dan, who's your favorite Sonic the Hedgehog character?
The pink one.
No, I don't know. Big, that's Amy.
There's got to be a big one.
There's Amy.
Amy. She's a.
Would you accept the Mean Bean Machine as my favorite character?
That's good. I like that. I'm more of a Spinball type of guy.
Yeah, I know you are.
I never had a Genesis. I had a NES and an SNES.
Okay.
Oh, you should play the Sega Genesis Flashback.
No, I should not. According to you,
we have one here in the office. Check it out. Also out this week is the Inside and Limbo Double Pack. Both of those truly excellent games were packaged together on one disc and released in retail.
Secretly the same universe, maybe?
Man, could be.
We don't know.
GameScoop listeners, both of these games are required playing. If you have not played these games...
If you don't like spiders, you have a really bad aversion to spiders, don't play Limbo.
Well, I mean... No, you should still play it. Come on, you play it.
I hear that spider is one of the worst. I don't like spiders too much, but like I'm fine with this game. I love it. But yeah,
no, it's
awesome. I remember people being pretty freaked out by that.
There are some
gruesome deaths.
Creepy, some creepy elements of that game.
I like Limbo more than Inside. I think no one else does.
I love them both, but I like Inside a little bit more.
Yeah. You like the ending?
Yeah, I love it.
It's very silly.
It's incredible. It's one of the best.
I did not see that coming.
It's one of the best endings.
I guess I didn't see it coming.
Both of these games have.
Let's talk about it.
Endings. Not spoiling anything. Both of these games have endings that stick with you for days and weeks after you beat the game.
It's funny. I don't remember the ending of Limbo.
Well, okay.
We'll talk about
it. Stuck with me. We'll save that for the Limbo spoiler cast.
Spider warning.
This week, Ys 8 is out this week.
Who knew?
Ys.
An old Japanese RPG series that we talk about in some, but I have very little.
Well, we talk about it because it starts with Y.
Yeah.
Is 8 new? I think
it's a new Ys game.
Just it's not like a remake.
I remember Ys being on a TurboGrafx CD game.
Cool.
That's where I knew that series. But I think also Ys 3 was on Super Nintendo, but that game kind
of
sucks.
I only ever think about it in the context of like, hey, Ys 1 and 2 pack is out again. Like, I never think about them as making new ones.
Yeah, I only think about it in certain 20 questions rounds.
As far as I know, it's a new one. It's out on PS4 and Vita. Rayman Legends Definitive Edition comes to Switch.
Which one's Legends? So there's Rayman.
The most recent one.
Okay.
There was Rayman Origins,
right.
And then Legends.
Yeah, it's the one with the tapping scenes on the Wii U. So they they changed that, then they put it on PS4, Xbox One. It has a lot of music kind of levels, but it has this one mode where everything gets blurry, and then it gets black and white, and then it like zooms out to like 64 versions of your screen.
Are you sure you're not thinking of NES Remix?
Yeah, it's like that. There's some remixes in that game. It's
cool.
Good. It's a cool game.
And then Dan, you'll like this one, Divinity: Original Sin 2.
Yeah,
this week.
We call him Dan Vinity.
I actually never played that first one.
I did play it, but I played it on console. I played it on both PS4 and Xbox One.
But I've heard a lot of very good things.
Because you can play cooperative online, and I started a game on PS4, and then Nate Ahern was like, bro, let's play some Divinity. And of course, he wants to play on Xbox. I'm like, okay, I'll start a new game with you, Nate.
Was
played Divinity
fun?
On Xbox. It was super fun.
Yeah,
it's great.
Cool.
A cooperative RPG.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's like I'm gonna go try and rob this guy. You distract him. It's really fun. That's out this week too, but it's just on PC for right now. I have to wait for the console version to come later before I jump into it. And let's check in with the listeners.
Oh, wait, actually,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, got about
hey Dan,
if you're talking about some sports games,
Dan.
I just get some. Okay, what if
I was talking about XCOM 2 or The Chosen for consoles?
That's out. It's worth noting.
I want to talk about it a little bit because I fired up the PS4 version last night and it ran terribly. I still haven't tried it on PS4 Pro.
Is this an expansion?
Yeah. It is. It is an expansion. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not standalone, but though it kind of should be because it makes you re-download the entire game.
We're like Chore of the Wozen.
No, it's actually really well-liked, but on console, maybe be careful.
Yeah, I mean, the PS4 version was very, very chunky in the first couple of missions. Like, if it weren't a turn-based game, it would border on unplayable. You know, it's just hard to look at with such bad frame rate. I was just playing in the other room before we came out here. I was playing the Xbox version on an Xbox One S, which is considerably better than what I ran into on the PS4. So pending more testing, I got to play more than a couple of missions to really see if the performance levels out. But
did the base game run okay on console?
Okay, not great. And load times have always been long.
What are you thinking for your strap line?
I haven't begun to think.
Okay, well I just gave you one.
Yes.
If you guys don't know this out there, after you do this laborious review process, and I'm not saying it's not fun or anything, like I love my job, it's great, but it's one of the longer, more difficult things we do here. I know it seems to you guys that we write 11 paragraphs and then it goes on the website and that's it. But we have to do all this video capture and, you know, that gets made into a video review, all this stuff. So at the end of that, it's an exhausting process. It usually goes up at like 5 a.m. And then right before that, Dan says, hey, you forgot to write your strap line. And a strap line is like a short phrase that has to be funny and it has to have puns in it.
Yep.
It has to have a positive or negative connotation to align with the tone of the review.
Yes, it has to have align with the tone of your review. So, for instance, here's how it went with Metroid. I was like, I'm thinking of using Alien Resurrection because it's like, you know, the series is back. But Dan was like, no, that movie sucked, and you're giving this a good review, so you can't use it. So we settled. And I'm not saying we settled, actually, because I don't like it. I think it's really silly. But Dan made me, as my editor, put on How Samus Got Her Groove Back. So that's what
so.
That's how bad these get.
I much prefer Alien Resurrection.
Sam endorsed that one.
I'll have you know
for the record.
But only because I think it was it you that did for Star Fox Zero Fox Given?
Yes.
That was you? So anything that Dan says he gets a pass on now for my strap lines, he gets the final say.
My favorite of all time was for Shadow of Mordor, and I did Kicking Ass and Tolkien Names.
That was good.
That was my ultimate.
I remember I was saying we should do more like Shadow of Bordeaux, but then you liked it.
Well, there are so many games where we come up with great ones for if it's a negative review.
I know.
And
yeah.
A good name, it's the best. And it's like, damn it, we got to shelve that one.
Yeah.
So you spend about 5 hours on the review and then an additional 8 to 10 hours
on
the workshopping.
It makes us late to our embargoes. it screws up everything.
It's causing massive problems for our business.
Yeah. It's worth it, though.
Behind the scenes.
I forget anything else that's out this week. I know there's some sports stuff, but no.
Yeah, there's NHL and I guess PS18 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
I forget exactly.
The first Destiny raid is out this week, and that means that we can finally put a finished review score on Destiny.
We will have that by the end of the week, yes.
Oh, cool. Very exciting.
Probably before.
Destin Legary.
Scoop.
Now, let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hey, Dan.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Hugo Galimberti from Brazil did.
Hey, Hugo.
Now, while I read this, somebody do me a favor and pull up someone who has their phone and go to YouTube and pull up a drum roll for us.
No, I can't. Okay. I'm going to do my best here.
I know there is one, there's several of them, and there's one that will even end with a cymbal crash, but I forgot, I left my phone outside of the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Ugo says, I would like to make an observation. Okay. With the recent details of Assassin's Creed Origins, I read that Bayek is a married man, and that you may also play as his wife at some points in the game.
Oh, yeah.
I started thinking that this is an uncommon situation for protagonists in video games. Do you guys have any character that comes to mind that is a married man or woman, and where the such fact impacts somehow the gameplay or is crucial to the story. As a 23-year-old gamer, the list seems to be quite short. It is a little bit difficult to come up with video game protagonists that are married.
Yeah,
Kratos.
I was going to say, it's
previously
often,
married.
It's right. Often a motivating factor for, there's like Dead Space, right? Where
Deadwood. Well, they weren't married.
Well, whatever. I mean, right. But you're like, like, it's not often that they're still around. It's the same right, like movies and stuff.
No, that's not exactly what I was looking for.
It's a bongo solo. Yeah. I searched bongo solo.
I think you found the one. Is it in a cymbal crash?
Nope.
Okay. Well, there's another one that ends with a cymbal
crash. So we're just going to have to stick with the bongos.
Okay. That's enough bongos. Let's table the bongos, Sam. Thank you. Characters that are married. Yeah.
I think the reason you don't see it a lot is similar to the reason you don't see it a lot in most, you know, most dramas or comedies or whatever, because when Sam and Diane got married, it got boring. Right?
Yeah.
Like there's no longer the tension.
Cheers.
Yes.
Well, you're going on an adventure, right? You're going around effing up a bunch of demons or whatever. You don't need some husband or wife at home being like, "Oh, you gotta get home by 6 p.m. because I got dinner, and then you gotta do the dishes, and the kids got to be put to bed."
Yeah.
And there's you know you want to.
And then we need to watch Netflix and like.
Along the adventure, you want to introduce the sexual tension of between two characters, possibly.
Will they? Won't they?
Yeah.
And I guess if you're married, who are you going to ship if they're already married?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are some, though. Nathan Drake is a married man.
Yeah.
Well, now. By the end.
Well, I mean, he is in Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't some games end in marriages? Isn't that like a thing?
Very few games end in marriage.
Mario 3.
Marry Peach.
Yeah. Mario 3 ends with a marriage?
Yeah, Peach and Mario get married.
They get married?
No, I'm making that up.
Yeah, that's true. Married. What about in GTA 5, Michael is married.
That's true.
Unhappily,
yeah.
But he is married.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Here's the thing.
Okay.
The stranger thing about video games, especially Nintendo games, is that nobody has freaking parents.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
It's crazy.
I love so hard that Link in Wind Waker has a grandma on Outside Island, that you're going on all these crazy adventures and grandma's just there the whole time, and you can go back to grandma and she'll give you soup.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She'll give you soup whenever you want it that refills your hearts. And I think it's the most like pure, heartwarming thing.
Yeah. That's grandma, and then you have an uncle in Link to the Past.
Yeah, but he's not around the whole game.
No.
Spoilers.
And then you have Deku Tree. I don't know.
What about Pac-Man?
Yeah.
There's Miss Pac-Man.
They definitely get married.
She took his whole name.
Yeah.
but she's not Mrs. Pac-Man, though.
Well, maybe he's Pac-Man. He's Pac-Man.
It's not Miss, it's Ms.
I assume they were siblings.
That's ambiguous.
No, they're married because they get the whole story of Pac-Man.
What are you talking about?
The whole story of Pac-Man 2 is that they get together.
I wasn't aware there was a story.
They meet is one of our top 100 video game moments.
Yeah, it was the first video game cutscene.
Not they get married.
No, they get married at the end.
They get married, and then a stork comes and delivers.
They do get married?
Yeah.
That's the second cutscene.
Yeah.
They get married in the second cutscene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to fact.
There's a heart above their head. They come together. Yeah.
I know that they come together.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They're not wearing veils and tuxedos.
Do they say vows?
No, that's a good point, Damon. That's a good point. The baby comes out of nowhere. And Mario was born via Stork as well, but we don't know how that happened.
We know it was Stork, though?
Actually, baby Mario, I think, is a different character than Mario.
I was going to say, is baby Mario canonical?
Is anything canonical in the Mario Kingdom?
I don't know, man. I don't want to think about this anymore.
Max Payne was married.
Yep.
But we all know what happened there.
What about Sonic? Is he a single boy?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't get deep enough into Sonic to understand it.
Asking the important questions here.
I avoid there.
Bowser tries to marry Peach a lot.
Yeah. A final serious one. I think John Marsden married?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In Red Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, he spends that whole game married, and then,
go back to your house in Red Dead, right?
Yeah, that's the whole final, you think that game is over, and then there's like 25% left of a whole, you go back home and meet your wife and go on a bunch more missions.
You can marry a bunch of people in Skyrim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can get married in a lot of games.
There are other games where, they have like a marriage mechanic or whatever. That's a possibility, but it's harder
Spider-Man's
to come
married.
Up, it's harder to come up with,
He is. They retconned that, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mary Jane's been his wife forever.
I think they reset the timeline and ate the marriage.
What about Cyclops and Jean Grey? They got married.
I can't keep track of any of this.
Anyway.
call Joshua.
Speaking of Assassin's Creed Origins, I got the chance to see that as well as Far Cry 5 at Gamescom recently. And there's a fairly significant feature or lack thereof to both those games. A creative choice, a developmental choice that Ubisoft has made with both those games that I'm not sure people are aware of. Do you guys know what I'm referring to?
That you don't climb towers anymore to reveal the map?
No, they don't. Neither of those games have a mini-map. And it's not even optional. It's not even optional.
Yeah.
Ubisoft took it out and is not including it in the game.
They said, nah, man.
You think you'll notice it's gone?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Metroid didn't have a mini-map.
Far Cry 2 didn't have a mini-map.
I didn't play Psych. I came on with Far Cry 3.
With Far Cry 2, you actually bring a map up into your face.
Yeah, well, that was that game's whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But Metroid had that recently. Or at least Castlevania did.
What?
It might be confusing the two. But they have like a little mini map in the upper right like your nearby passages that you just went through.
Yeah.
But then you pause the game to see the big map. This new Metroid doesn't have that.
So what do you think? Is it just to be more immersive and cinematic?
Yeah, he said they actually, they have the data. From watching people play the game, they do eye tracking, and they see that the player's eye is just fixed on the minimap instead of everything else.
When you're driving.
No, especially in GTA, you're playing the game down in this little tiny corner, right? And that's why I never learned my way around
built
the game.
They've built this beautiful game world in Assassin's Creed Origins, and they want people to look at the pyramids and the sky and the sand and the water.
I also think heads-up displays can replace a lot of what would be down there. Like, if you want to have, a path. Like, if you're the type of gamer that's like, I don't want to explore, just tell me where to go.
Yeah,
like you can do that in ways without having it down in the corner of the screen.
But it's interesting that they wouldn't provide it as an option, even. Mm. You know,
I always remember the very first Assassin's Creed. There are all these rumors. Rumors isn't the right word, but that game had all these HUD things turned on by default. The screen was just a big mess of your health bar and minimap and all this other stuff. And there were a lot of people theorized that the game was designed with none of that in mind. And then Ubisoft got scared and put it all in late in the process because you had Eagle Vision. Like, you know, the target you needed to follow was yellow and the enemies were red. And then your heart would beat more loud and the controller would rumble when your health was low. So, like, that took the place of the health bar. And, like, there is this whole, like, cult of people that insisted turn everything off and Assassin's Creed 1 is such a better game because then it forces you to sort of use your assassin powers to go through these.
I like the choice
cities.
In Zelda. They did a good job with that. You know, you can just clear it all off in Zelda. And then do you guys remember the first time playing, like, GoldenEye or Perfect Dark where it's like, whoa, they only do the life when you get hit and it's, like, big life bars on the screen? Mm-hmm. That was so clever. Like, I like that idea where it's, like, the thing pops up when you need it.
The HUD is very dynamic, I think, in Horizon.
Mm. Oh, same way it works noticed.
That way. Yeah, you can turn stuff on and off in that.
Yeah, you can also customize it, but it also, I think the game, by default, will just sort of remove stuff that when you don't need it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How clever. I mean, I played however many hours of that game and didn't even pick up
on
that.
You don't even hardly.
Like in Metal Gear, it's like, here's this type of minimap. Here's this type of minimap. You just load whichever one you want.
Yeah.
It used to frustrate me a lot, actually. I don't like that feature. Yeah. But 5 did a good job.
Both Assassin's Creed Origins and Far Cry 5 are removing the minimap. We'll see how that turns out. This is Peter from Colorado.
Hey, Peter.
He says, I'm a new listener. I listen to your podcast every week. I love your insights and recommendations, but really your banter is the best. Uh-huh. My question is, when you review a game, how much does the tie into real-world issues factor in, i.e. making you think about current problems in society? I really like games that are not only insanely fun to play, but also leave you thinking differently about the world you live in. Some recent examples are Horizon and Hellblade.
Yeah, any way a game affects you is just like a movie. Like if a movie has something to say, like it's more about more than just, you know, the events that are happening on the screen and the you know whether the hero wins in the end. It's got commentary and that can have more of an effect on an audience than just nothing at all or just, you know, some throwaway plot about saving the day. So, you know, it adds context. And subtext. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say there's, you know, a fixed amount that's going to affect things, but anything that can affect you as a gamer, as somebody, you know, experiencing a game or a movie or anything, you know, a song can be about, you know, something that's not apparent too.
Booties,
for example. So yeah, that can factor into your review, absolutely.
So this is he's asking this about reviews, right? And a couple of us here are probably English majors like myself. I had a lot of classes where we studied criticism, and part of critiquing something is putting it in the context of its larger role in society and in its genre and in its, you know, everything that it does. So when I'm thinking about a game, thinking about how does this affect other games, how does it affect how I think about games, how does it affect all that. But Dan is a really good editor. And he says the one question we should be answering at IGN for our reviews is this fun? And that's a different prospect, I think, than normal criticism. And so sometimes when you read video game reviews or especially movie reviews and especially book reviews, if you read those, that is criticism and it's always looking at our time and what this means, and it's trying to tie this work of art into that. And I think that's important. That's not necessarily what we do. I don't think Dan's going to shoot that down if you turn in a review with that in it, but it's definitely we're answering a different question here.
Yeah, like the priority is about the game itself rather than
like you don't demand that kind of critical aspect.
No, I'm not going for literary analysis of the plot of a game necessarily, unless like in the sense of a very, you know, story driven game, then yeah, there's a lot of room for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, as you said, Sam, this was a question specifically about the context of reviews, and so yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's saying this game gets, you know, plus or minus 1 point because of its commentary on real world issues or its ability to influence, you know, my opinion about something that's happening in the world. Outside of the context of reviews, I'm consistently disappointed by a lot of games shirking, a lot of game creators don't seem very interested in their games or try to run away from the responsibility that they have as artists for
provoking controversy.
Yeah, for putting something out in the world. And they just, you know, they kind of want to have their cake and eat it too, or just be like, hey, man, you know, we're just making our thing and we're not really thinking about, you know, how it sits in the context of the world. I'm like, man, like, it's, you can't. Like, no other artistic medium gets to claim that kind of ignorance.
And Far Cry 5 has actually been called out for that a lot, as like, yeah. You know, how far are they going to go toward you know, maybe saying something about militias and cults in America?
Well, and obviously they're saying a lot, but they want to say a lot without really answering to that, you know, in interviews or any sort of, I don't know.
Like, or they include all that, but don't touch on racial aspects at all, because it's, you know, it could divide their audience or divide their audience into people that say that I don't want this talked about, no matter what their stance is, and people that do.
You'll find that indie developers are much more willing to talk about social issues in their games.
Although, like, you know, something like Metal Gear Solid is loaded with subtext, even though the story itself makes no sense.
I mean, games have a stance. Like, Metal Gear Solid has a stance. It makes a statement and has opinions about, you know, the military-industrial complex and everything else. But then game makers seem unwilling to, you know, they stop short of, you know, the finish line in the way that I think creators and other mediums do often. And that's not a universal, you know, I'm making a blanket statement. Obviously, there's a million exceptions. But generally speaking, I don't think our medium and its creators go as far there as they should or could. Mm.
I think social commentary in games is still a fairly recent phenomenon in the lifespan of video games. You know, there's not a lot of social commentary in Pong or Super Mario Brothers.
Well, you know, games that have story, some of those stories can opt to veer into, you know, having something to say. Most don't.
Well, but that's even true. I mean, Nintendo and Mario are some of the greatest games ever made. But should Nintendo, like, how many times has Princess Zelda been kidnapped, or Princess Peach been kidnapped and need to be rescued? Like,
or Princess Zelda.
Or Princess Zelda. Like, does that matter? Like, is that something that Nintendo...
And that's what Braid is talking about, right? You know what's cool is that when you mentioned that, I was trying to think of, like, the earliest game that I can think of with social commentary.
Captain Planet.
yes, and the Planeteers. It's exactly right. Death Races. That was the first controversial game, and that game is this. It's like the setup is like you're collecting points for just mowing down people, and it's like
running
them over in like a car. And yes, it's like gratuitously violent, but now when you look at it, it's like completely stupid. You know, it's like barely a car, and you're barely running over humans. They're just dots.
Yeah.
But you know, they came in 1978. There's like a gas crisis.
Good year.
There's like car culture like going crazy. And it's about, and there's Death Race, you know, there's all these like kind of cultural things happening about cars killing people, and that's kind of a cool thing. But at the same time, people were like, "Hey, this is wrong that this game is taking the perspective that, you know, running people over for points is a good thing." It seems really simple now, but that was like the first game that I can think of where like there was any discussion of that game's impact on wider society and what it means and how that's evil.
Well, there was discussion about it, but I don't think the game was making any sort of social commentary.
Yeah, it's hard to say. There are games...
But it doesn't always have to be intended.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't intending social commentary, by virtue of it existing and them having made something, they were making a statement and taking a stand. And
or like Chiller. Like, is Chiller actually saying, like, this, like, gore and, like, this goofy stuff, like, is all... Like, that's kind of a bold statement to make.
Postal is the same way.
I think it's making a statement.
No, you don't think so?
But I think, you know, violence is offered as entertainment very, very often. And
it's almost a self-parody, though.
It's never bothered me. I've always been a big fan of violence and entertainment.
Yeah, you're a gore hound, is what they call that.
Yeah, I grew up loving Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th and action movies, and I love all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's not about moralizing or being a moral police or saying this is too violent or too this or too whatever. It's just, you know, creators just owning up to some responsibility for what they made, or at least just saying, yeah, we wanted to make this super violent thing, and here's why. We, you know, enjoy that aesthetic, and that's what, you know, what did it for us. And that part's missing sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of people look at reviews that criticize or praise games for social commentary as the reviewer trying to police that, trying to either say, you know, I didn't like this, so games should never do that, or I like this and all games should do it, which isn't really what a review sets out to do. It's simply offering an opinion, guidance on a game, and whether a developer you know, chooses to take that advice or not is entirely up to them. And really, sales are going to guide that more than anything that we are ever going to say. So I think a lot of people worry about critics trying to impose a certain view, even though, you know, that's not really what they're trying to do. They're just offering an opinion, a perspective, just like any other.
Mm. Yeah, like we're saying, I think social commentary in games is starting to become more and more common, and there is a certain segment of the gaming community that's calling for more of that. For my part, well, I think that's certainly fine, and I believe in creators, right, whatever kind of art they're making, to make whatever they want to make. For my part, what I'm looking for is just good old-fashioned escapist entertainment. I just want to play Mario plus Rabbids. That's what I'm looking for in my games. And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions, and it is time to give away our fabulous prizes.
Oh, boy.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
Wait, are we playing two 20 questions?
Yes, we're going to play two rounds.
Ooh. Right. All right.
The first round is for...
Yep. If you're scrubbing through the video.
This is the drum roll, right?
We need not the bongos. Please do not play the bongos. Why? We want a real drum roll. Hopefully, we'll end in a cymbal crash.
All right, am I playing the video?
All right, hold on. All right, so for our first prize of $450 in credit for the PlayStation Store plus $50 goes to drumroll, please. It goes to
very high tech here.
It goes to.
It won't go.
Oh man,
I'm setting you up so good right now.
Here we go. Our number one lady fan, Joellen Marconi.
Wow,
goes
congrats.
To university in Indiana.
Cool.
I will.
Purdue?
Yeah. Well, no.
Okay.
Nope. She is the first winner of our $450 in PlayStation Store credit plus $50 because she sent in a winning 20 questions suggestion. So let the questioning begin.
Do you spend money in this game? Do you accumulate and spend currency of some kind?
No.
Sam, why don't you do your usual narrowing down of the era and the platform? That's what I count on.
You can't tell me what to do because you're not the reviews editor of 20 Questions.
That is true.
I'm going to do it, but not because you told me to.
Is this from before 1990?
From before 1990, yeah. Yes.
Ooh. Cool. Oh. We're good.
Yep. Yeah.
So no money before 1990 sounds like Goonies 2.
Yeah. I was going to say Gremlins 2. Yeah. Wait, you spend money in that game? Crap.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's a shop.
I didn't even know that.
Hmm. Was this an NES game? Did this game release on the NES?
Yes.
Okay.
Was it also in arcades?
No.
Okay.
Is it Japanese made?
Mm.
Oh, no.
Wow. Hold on.
Okay. All right. We'll allow it.
We can keep on asking while you sort this out.
I can't answer that question.
What? An NES game. Just because you don't know, though, not because it's unanswerable.
Sounds like Tetris.
Yeah, I
that's fine.
It sounds like Tetris.
I'm not confident in my answer.
It's not Tetris.
I mean, everyone, Tetris is Russian, but like, who's the actual developer of NES Tetris? I don't know. Was it Nintendo?
Yeah.
Was it? Was that his first party? Mm-hmm. Okay. Was it Nintendo of America?
No, there wasn't. There's no developer side of Nintendo of America for NES.
Mm.
Anyway. So. Right. But yeah, maybe it could be. It'd be confusing.
I really don't think. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Is it a platformer?
No.
Okay.
Mm. Not.
So.
Is it a puzzle game? Here we go.
Okay, no. Okay, let's say no.
Okay,
sounds like Adventures of Lolo.
Ooh, Clue Land.
Yeah,
You know what? The funny thing is, I received so many suggestions that now I have actually received suggestions for pretty much any game you guys mentioned.
Oh, nice. That's really cool.
See, no money, so it's probably not an RPG of any kind.
Maybe it's Mylon's Secret Castle.
Mm.
you like all these?
That's right.
We love NES games. But it sounded like it was on multiple systems because he was hesitant about the NES thing. So let's we have to be careful.
Eh.
It could be on.
But okay, not a puzzle game, not a platformer on the NES. Mm-hmm. Almost certainly not.
Puzzle-ish.
Yeah, puzzle-ish.
All right, it's hard for me without the developer. So, does this have sequels?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
All right. So we have the Bubble Bobbles, the low. Oh, does this have a sequel on the NES?
No.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Kind of a platformer, anyway.
Yeah, sort of.
So things that happened on the NES that have sequels now, or that had subsequent sequels. That's good. That's good. We're in a good place right here. Can't be Gradius, can't be Life Force.
Whenever I picture NES, I picture a lot of like first person games. Mm-hmm. Or not first person, first party games.
Yeah, totally.
So it's hard for me.
There's like Punch Out, but he would know that was developed by.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So we know it's not Japanese made.
Yeah, that satisfies a lot of the
it's
things.
It's not obviously Japanese made. Unclear or unknown country of origin.
Not a prominent developer.
Is this based on a license?
No.
That's another good question. Sam's on a roll.
So much for the Noid.
We had that.
Yeah, or like, all the weird gremlins and the games we were joking about earlier. Top Gun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, I don't really know where to go with this.
Was the franchise around for 20 years or more?
Wait, what do you... What?
Or do you want to ask if something's still around today?
Yeah, is it still around today?
Has there been one in the last?
Oh yeah, that's a good way.
5 years.
Yeah.
Yes, that's 10.
All right.
Crazy. So there's something that's still getting sequels. That was on the NES, but might have been on other things. But
not
was on the NES.
Not in arcades.
Unclear if it was made in Japan.
Could be point and click adventure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those came to NES.
Yeah, King's Quest V did. Day of the Tentacle,
I was going to say Maniac Mansion.
Was it an adventure game?
Yes.
Ooh.
Nailed it.
King's Quest? It's got to be King's Quest.
Well, or Maniac Mansion, right?
But King's Quest was obviously not made in Japan.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, King's Quest was, King's Quest was made by Sierra, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what's a smart, we're basically
so
there.
So weird adventure game.
Yeah.
We have like Princess Tomato in the Salad Kingdom. We have,
it's almost certainly a King's Quest game.
Okay. Because I keep going with this.
What's the smart way to narrow down adventure games?
Adventure games. But I don't understand the thing about it not being made in Japan.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Should we ask if it was on PC also?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Is that going to narrow it down?
It doesn't hurt.
Well, what would that would eliminate?
Princess Tomato in the South.
This game no one's ever heard of.
Fair enough.
I've heard of it.
I've never heard of that game in my life.
Was this on PC also?
Yes.
Yeah, that just helps Dan out.
Yeah. Take that, Princess Tomato.
Well, I know it's not Maniac Mansion because
what?
Because
is there
it's
money
not
in
continuing
it?
To get sequels. But that was Lucasfilm, LucasArts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So okay, so was this a LucasArts game?
No.
No, that was the only one on the system, so.
Yeah.
No.
And King's...
What's the adventure game series?
King's Quest was made by
King's
Sierra?
King's Quest just got a thing, so King's Quest V is...
That's why I say it's almost...
There was also... Yeah, King's Quest... Yeah, that's one. Yeah.
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 Is this a fantasy game?
Yes.
All right.
Are you a king?
Oh, there's also Bard's Tale.
Are you a king going on a quest in this game?
Huh.
That's actually... I actually don't know that you are in King's Quest. I'm trying to be too clever by half.
You are. You're always like
in
a
the
young
modern
prince
one,
going on.
Yeah, I guess I can't answer. I don't know if you are a king.
I don't want to play this song and dance anymore. We know what it is.
I don't know.
Go ahead and do it.
I don't know what to do. Is this the fifth in a series of games?
No.
Yeah, so I think only King's Quest V was on
it. That's 15.
But it's a fantasy game.
Yeah. What's Bard's Tale? I don't know what that game is.
I mean, but it's not an adventure game. It's an RPG.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dragon's Lair, did that come to NES? That's
not an adventure game either, though. That's just an action game.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's true. I think it's almost certainly King's Quest, right?
That's Sierra, and it doesn't make any sense.
Okay. I don't know.
What's the...
Could ask if it's developed by Sierra.
Is this developed by Sierra?
No. Okay. Wait, did you not already ask that?
No, we didn't ask that.
We asked if it was developed by Lucasfilm.
So, guys, there's these games that I don't... Dark Tower, Deadly Tower. And then there's...
we got overconfident. We got too big for our britches.
Then there's Wizardry.
But that's an RPG as well.
Yeah, I just don't know these games, so I'm just going to say them. There's Shadow... what's it called?
Shadowrun. But that's also an RPG.
Sure?
Yeah.
But some of those have these like front-on perspectives.
Wizardry's a first-person dungeon-crawling RPG. Yeah. You have a party of adventurers and go in and have hit points and level up and all that stuff.
That doesn't count, though?
That's not an adventure game.
So what are some popular PC adventure games that would have gone on?
It's not Sierra LucasArts.
It's on PC, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, that's why we need your help here. These are...
I don't know. Did Monkey Island ever come out on...
That's LucasArts.
No. That's Pirates did.
That's why I'm tripped up. Pirates? I'm tripped up by it not being LucasArts and not being Sierra.
What about Sid Meier's Pirates?
But and it's kind of
you. Well, you have money in that.
More
game.
Of an RPG. And yeah, you definitely.
What about Mule? What's that? I can categorically name every single NES game. I don't know what it is.
Mule is like a proto RTS.
Yeah. So that wouldn't be it.
That is not an adventure game.
Four questions left.
And we definitely eliminated Maniac Mansion, right?
I mean, it can't be like we're Zork or anything like that on NES. They didn't come out on NES, only PC.
Adventure game. That's what's so confusing about this. Maybe it's not a point-and-click adventure.
Is it a point-and-click adventure?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, not literally point-and-click because you can't do that on a controller. Well,
are you moving a cursor around on a screen?
There are games where you move a cursor.
Are you moving a cursor around on a screen selecting things?
Yes.
Okay. That really does help me.
Yeah.
So Goonies 2 has that. Just a word.
It's still getting sequels. It got a sequel within 5 years. I feel like we're being real bummies.
Lemmings has that point of control.
Yeah, but that's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
Damon was a little mixed up. Well, yeah, but he got mixed up because adventure games have puzzles in them.
Yeah, game could have puzzles but not be a puzzle game.
Could it be Lemmings?
No.
It's not an adventure game. It's a puzzle game.
Am I wrong about Sierra making King's Quest?
No.
Or it being the fifth in the series?
That, possibly. But not that Sierra made King's Quest. I'm tripped up by them still making sequels. Adventure,
I wouldn't get too hung up.
Okay. All right. Don't worry about that then.
Basically, we were lied to.
What are the biggest adventure games that were point and click at that time? Before Seventh Guest and all that stuff.
Before 1990?
Yeah.
Talk about not my area of expertise.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's all the ones we already listed.
No, because I didn't have my own PC then. Anyway.
All right.
I'm trying to think of just the worst NES games, because that's what I would have thought of this when I was a kid. I'd be like, what is this?
Who recommended it?
Golgo 13 and...
Joellen?
It's not based on a license.
Could be Golgo 13.
No, it's not based on a license.
Could be Golgo 13.
He said it's unlicensed.
Is that licensed?
Yeah.
What's the license?
Golgo 13.
What? I've only ever heard of the video game. What is it? Is it a comic?
It's an anime.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, scoop.
What if there's something like that?
Can we ask if
Who
we,
framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, you do move around.
We're going to kick ourselves when we hear it.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we are. We always
I don't know
are.
What to do.
Them having...
Has Joellen beat you?
Yes.
Well,
wave your white flag.
And we shouldn't just ask something?
I don't know, man. I don't have anything.
I mean, go for it.
Just trying to think of...
Who was the third company making adventure games back then besides Sierra and LucasArts?
Yeah, who were the other companies that did?
No.
Sierra, Lucasfilm, and... something European and weird. You know?
I don't have it.
Is it Princess Tomato?
Are we done?
Yeah.
I'm going to reveal it? All right. It's one of my all-time favorite games.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
It was released on PC first, but was ported to the NES in 1989. Sam got so close. It was not Shadowrun.
Yeah, I knew it was the Shadow game.
Shadowgate.
That's what it is, Shadowgate, yeah.
Shadowgate.
I'm not familiar with Shadowgate.
It's such an awesome first-person point-and-click adventure.
Yeah.
Wow. Like,
yeah, see, I knew it was a point-and-click that was Shadow, but I didn't play that at the time, so it's hard for me to remember. That was
awesome, incredible soundtrack, too. Yeah. There was a Shadowgate 2 on PC. Shadowgate 64 was released, although it was terrible.
Yeah.
And then fairly recently, they kickstarted a new Shadowgate game for PC.
And you don't know who made it?
It's not supposed to be very good.
You don't know who made Shadowgate?
Well, so the publisher on the NES version is like Kemco, the guys that did Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle.
They're still around.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle.
Bugs Bunny's Crazy. And I thought that was a Japanese publisher. But maybe, so I don't know who actually developed the game.
Right?
Probably a Western developer.
Good to leave it ambiguous.
Yeah, good. That was great.
Didn't want to mislead anyone.
Kemco is still having a tremendous amount of success releasing RPGs on iOS and Android.
That's true?
Yep.
Thank you for the suggestion, Joel and Marconi. I will
Well played.
I'll be following up with you to get your fabulous prize in the mail to you. And our second fabulous prize.
We got to do a speed round.
Is going to our one of our viewers on YouTube. And that is.
Is it Big Tony style?
Amanda Huddleston in Kentucky.
Nice.
So for this round, congratulations, Amanda. For this round, round two, 20 questions. Everybody reset.
Yeah.
Let the questioning begin.
Do you have a, is there a run button or a go fast button?
Yes.
Goosh! Yes!
Was it released before 1990?
No.
All right.
Was it released before January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
Right. Only 90s games.
Is it a platformer?
No.
Oh, dang. Look at that.
Is it a first person game? First person perspective?
No.
Sorry, Sam. We're sort of leapfrogging you here.
No, I'm just trying to think.
Are you in some kind of vehicle or ship?
Yes.
So it could be a racing game, obviously.
It could go fast.
That's a go fast button.
Are we talking like wave race?
Is it multiplayer?
Yes.
Sounds like Mario Kart.
Okay. Yeah, it could be. So are you on land?
Are you asking if the entire game takes place on land?
Diddy Kong Racing is what it is.
Yeah.
Is any portion of the game played on? Are you in a vehicle with wheels on land?
Yes.
Why are you making that face?
Right. How does that help you?
I thought that was weird.
Because it eliminates any space game. It eliminates any. It eliminates boats. Wave race
no
and
boats.
It eliminates boats.
F-Zero.
No hovercraft.
I don't think it did not eliminate boats and airplanes.
It asked if it has wheels.
It eliminates any space.
A game can't have wheels and airplanes.
Is this developed by Nintendo?
No.
Does Rare count as Nintendo in this context?
No. Is this on a Nintendo platform?
Yes. That's 10.
I'm telling you, it's Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
Do you race? Is this a racing game? Did we already say that?
No.
Okay, with Damon Hearts,
yes.
Okay, racing game.
Okay. Does it have monkeys in it? Apes.
Wait.
Does it have apes in it?
You were about to do us dirty.
Yeah, that would be evil.
No, I would not
All
do
right,
dirty.
All right, we'll ask both. Does it have monkeys?
No. Apes.
If you want to ask.
Apes.
I just want to know if it has apes in it.
Yes, it has apes in it.
Okay, jeez. Man, that would have been brutal.
No, I mean.
Do you
apes.
That would be on you.
Do you race around in three types of fabulous vehicles, including airplanes and boats and go-karts?
Yes.
Is there a weird genie?
Well,
we got this one fast.
That. I don't know about that.
Is it Diddy Kong Racing?
Yes.
Woo!
Diddy Kong Racing. No, but I don't.
One for two.
I don't see how asking if at any point of the game are you on wheels touching the ground. How does that rule out anything?
No,
rule out boats.
Because you knew what the answer was. All we knew before that was a game has vehicles in it. Could have been anything. It eliminates anything in outer space.
Well, I already forgot what the first game was called. Shadow Gate.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm never.
That's also that. Required playing, viewers.
Oh,
and listeners, you got to play Shadow Gate.
Diddy Kong Racing, so
it's
good.
It's required playing for them, not for us, right?
No, you should also play Shadow Gate. It's very, very good. Diddy Kong Racing released
in homework.
1997. Developed by Rare, published by Nintendo. Yeah. I actually never played Diddy Kong Racing, but it's supposed to be good.
You can get there's like a DS cart that will obviously play in your 3DS.
Didn't you buy that?
I did. I think it came up on the show.
And then you were disappointed?
Well,
I remember this all.
Okay, I don't know why you need to bring up
okay.
that part. Yeah, no, it was definitely a game where my nostalgia, it was a product of its time in the 90s. And games back then, like, it's weird that we played hours and hours and hours of games now where it's like GoldenEye runs at like 10 frames per second. It's insane.
Yep.
And like Diddy Kong Racing is a little bit like that too. It's not quite as playable today, but I do still very much have a sweet spot for that game.
Well, that was the golden age of Rare.
Man, and it has such a better campaign and single-player story mode than any
That's
Mario
the thing. I only found that out recently. There's like all the single-player unlocking that
there's
you do.
There's a whole island
fun.
To explore, yeah, and like there's
nuts.
Secrets, and yeah.
I
there's
why I skipped every, that at the time. I would have loved that game.
Every course has like a secret thing for you to find. And
I was
get.
Really mad after Donkey Kong 64. I was like, I'm never playing Donkey
Sometimes
Kong.
You need to like drive around backwards, like off the course, and go in some weird spot to like find a hidden key. It's great.
Cool. Well, congratulations to our two winners of our 450th episode prizes, Joellen Marconi and Amanda Huddleston. I will be following up with you to get these fabulous prizes in the mail. I hope everybody had fun today.
We ended on a high note. I'm glad, yeah. glad we lost one.
You're,
one.
Yeah, you're one for two.
Stupid just. Shadow game.
Shadowgate.
Shadow yeah. game.
So good.
Is this a shadow Double game?
Shadow games.
I also ported it to the Game Boy Color. I played it there too. It's very good. And that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@IGN.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you,
Dan. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
You to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.